Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. We're going to exit. You know, some of us sooner than others, but the plan is to exit this world into God's eternal world. Hallelujah. I believe that, and I believe it's going to take place a lot sooner than people want to think. But anyway, if you will turn with me to Exodus chapter 29, verses 20 and 21. Now, you'll probably, whatever verse or Bible that you have, follow along. If you don't mind, I'm going to read this one out of the King James, the New King James. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons and his sons' garments with him. Ooh-wee. Lord, I pray that you help us understand about the blood. Understand what we're really going through and what it's all about. Understand the consecration of the blood that you shed on the cross. Understand what God you were doing with the high priest and with the priesthood and the Levites. Understand where we are today. Help us, O Lord. Give us enlightenment and wisdom and what you want us to hear. And I pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, taking you back to the book of Exodus, taking you back now, they're exited out, they're now free, and now they're taking the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, and putting them in the position that they needed to be in. It was an anointed position. And as an anointed position, that there was things they had to do to consecrate them to be able to be anointed for the rest of the nation. They were set apart from the nation as a priesthood to the nation. Okay? And it says the high priest and the priestly tribe, the Levites, had to be consecrated, anointed, and cleansed, before they could be of any service to God. Consecrated, anointed, and cleansed before they could be of any service to God. The blood applied upon the right ear, the right hand, and the right foot signified that all the bodily members, soul and spirit faculties of the priest were consecrated to God and to God's service to the people. Wow, do you understand that? Now let me ask you that. This was of the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament. But what are we considered today? Oh my goodness, a couple of you got it. But that should shine forth so loud, you should all say it. One more time. Royal priest. Let me read that to you. Go into your Bibles with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I want you to be able to underline this, underscore this, highlight this, And anytime you get depressed or down and out, go to that verse. Because it will enlighten you to what God thinks about you. Not about the rest of the world, but what he thinks about you. And in 1 Peter 2:9 it says, but you, say it, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and to his marvelous light. Last week, Thursday night, I talked about darkness versus light. Okay? Those of you here heard that. And I talked about an experience that we encountered when we went to Carlsbad Caverns. And these caverns are humongous. They're big. And this one place where you walk into, it's almost like a hotel inside. Okay? And they did something. They said, okay, now they got the tour together, got us all together, said, now, watch. They went over to the light switch, and they turned it off. And it went to total blackness. Total darkness. Now, to me, what that is telling you and I, that's what the world is experiencing right now. They think they got light. No, they got darkness. Total darkness. Alienation without God. Then the tour guide took a candle and lit the candle. That one itty-bitty little candle lit up the whole cavern and put light in that whole cavern. Guess what? That's you. In a world that is full of darkness, and there is no light in this world at all, we're walking around like a candle lit, and people see your light. People understand that you are the light of the world. Not anybody else. You are. Again, in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are a what? Now, let's start again. You are a chosen. Say it again. Chosen. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm chosen. Come on. You're special. You're not just ordinary. You got to get this before we get through anything else. And I got so much to go through today. But you got to get this. You got to understand who you are, God. Too many Christians believe they're nothing in God. And they can't do nothing in God because they're down and out and depressed all the time. Let's get out of that realm. And realize when you feel that low down, go to 1 Peter 2:9. Open that up and read it out loud in front of whoever's around you. Because they'll probably think you're crazy, but all you're doing is proclaiming what you are. You're a chosen generation. Now you can say it. A royal priesthood. You are not the world, but you are a holy nation. Not the Assemblies of God. Not the Catholics. Not the Presbyterians. Not the whatever. It's you, as you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, presents you as a royal nation in Christ Jesus. Woo! That should make you want to shout. His own special people. Whose? Whose? Thank you. Let's put it to who it really is. We're God's, we're Jesus' chosen people. We're his special. You're special in the sight of Jesus. So many Christians walk around, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I'm so tired. I just need to go to the Lord. Lord, take me. I won't tell you that I haven't been in that realm either. But I am telling you, it's because I have been in that realm, a pity party of myself. I had to get out of that realm. And when I did finally get out of that realm, I felt pretty good. Because, you know, when you're in that realm, you're down and out, you're pity party. In reality, nobody wants to be around you. You know? Nobody. But when you're that joy of the family, and you're joyful, and you're praising God, all of a sudden you become, oh, she's pretty good. I mean, I need to go find out what she's got. You know, and then they want to be around you. Understand that. Take that into it. You're his special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, we are considered a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation. Now, in Exodus 29, verse 21, it tells us that the priesthood was set apart from the rest of the people to be of a service to God. They were anointed and prepared after the consecration service was over. They were anointed, they were prepared. We, you and I, as a priesthood today, must be prepared. Our high priest, Jesus, has already shed his blood for you and I. Amen? He has washed you and I with his blood. He has cleansed you and I with his blood. He has covered us with his blood. You got to understand that. That's why it's so important to understand the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he is daily. Let me say it again. He is daily preparing you and I to be of a service to him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Alexis, you can probably hit the little button for the cooler to come on. It's warming up in here. The bottom one. Yep. There you go. That'll work. And that way it'll put the cool on. It's either it's getting warm in here or maybe I'm just getting warm in here. Come on, people. As in the Old Testament, we must be prepared. Okay? They were prepared, right? Now, there was something that went on a little different in the Old Testament that goes on today. Thank goodness for the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Remember, if you were a high priest in the Old Testament, you were required to go into the Holies of Holies once a year. And they would pick a certain high priest daily, or, you know, times to do that.
Once a year.
If you were the one chosen, that typically a really high choice. They look at you as like, this is the guy that's going to do it. But they still put bells on you. They still put a rope on you. Why? Just in case. You know, we think we know you, but we don't really know you. So as long as they were hearing the bells ringing, and as long as they were seeing that rope moving, they knew you were alive. If it stopped, they also knew that you weren't consecrated and prepared enough and didn't make it. Woo!
Oh, Lord.
That's pretty rough to be a high priest, right? I thank God for our high priest that is preparing you, that is consecrating you, that is anointing you. Doesn't look to the point where, well, if he's not good enough, I'll have to pull him out with a rope. Because he, Christ, did pay the price. Christ is consecrated. Christ is anointed. And his blood, his holy blood, covers you and I. So when we have our downfalls, he can lift you up. When we're not quite perfect, he doesn't have to pull you in saying, well, that person's dead. He pulls you in, though, differently, closer to him, through his love. It's through his love. And if it means that he just needs to cover you a little more, guess what he does? Covers you a little more. Are you picking up on what I'm saying here? It's a consecration through the blood. Now, there's three things that the blood of Christ does for you and I. Three things. I've got a lot to go here in a little time. Number one, hearing. Putting the blood upon the tip of the right ear signifies hearing. Hear and listen to what God has to say to you and I. There is the right way, and there is the wrong way to hear the voice of God. Do you agree? Can I give you both of them? The right way. I've got a lot of scripture today to pull out to you. So, the right way is found in Psalm 78, verse 1. Psalm 78. Now, they're probably going to all pop up on the screen. And so, but follow, if you'd like, follow along. Write them down. You know, I encourage you to take them and then read them later. But Psalm 78, 1 in the New King James says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." Whew. Let me go a step farther. James 1, 19 in the Amplified says, "Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear. Be a careful, thoughtful listener. Slow to speak. A speaker of carefully chosen words." Yeah, okay. Come on. Yes. Okay, I know how some Christians are. "And slow to anger. Be patient, reflective, and forgiving." That's found in the Bible. That's James 1:19. Be quick to hear. Understand, quick to hear means something. Hear what people say, but not just what you want to hear. That's where we go wrong. And I'm probably pretty good at that too. Sometimes I only hear what I want to hear, and I pick up half of what is really being said. Because that wasn't what I wanted to hear. Come on, am I the only one like that? I hope not, okay? But as we are quick to hear, we can hear. But then, what happens if we only hear what we want to hear? Our speaking, he says, slow to speak. Our speaking becomes quick. We want to answer, you know? We want to come back at them instead of, let me reflect what they said and come back with words of encouraging that will help. Not of anger or remorse.
A soft tongue turns away anger. If somebody's angry, don't get it back. If you're in a bout, if you just stand back and just listen.
Do you kind of figure out what I'm talking about? Why did God take the point of saying that I'm going to anoint your right ear? Understand, the right side of God is the power side of God. Why did he anoint the right ear? Because he was hitting on the power side of God. That's where the power is. So he put the blood on the right ear so that you would hear the right things. You take heed to what is being said. You won't speak fast, but you'll think before you talk. Or don't text before you think what you're going to text. Come on, in our society today, that's it. Yeah. Oh, golly, that is so true. So many people text so many things that are bad because they can figure they won't, you know, they don't see me. You know, so texting has become probably a worse or evil than talking. Texting has actually caused people to kill themselves because some of the evils that goes on through texting on our great society that we live in today. Be very careful. And very slow to anger. What a wonderful verse. You should be underlining that verse. Woo. Jesus gives the most important commandment to us when he tells us to love one another. John 13, verses 34 and 35. It says, "I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, so you too are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love and unselfishly concern, be unselfish concern for one another." Do you under what a wonderful scripture right there, because it's telling us that we need to learn to love one another in a world that is loveless. In a world that doesn't even know what that four-letter word means. They take love to their own personal goal. They take love to their own selfish ambition. But Jesus is saying, don't take it to an own selfish ambition. Love that person, no matter what they do. Unconditioning, unselfish. Love them. We must learn to listen. Listen. 15 times Jesus calls attention to certain sayings. 7 times about earth and 8 times about heaven. Did you know that? You need to look them up. Just look up in your index and in your Bible, Jesus, or go online, Jesus words, and you'll come up and you'll find the things he talked about heaven and the things he talked about on earth. Okay? Jesus wants us to pay attention to what he is saying. And you can't do that if you aren't consecrated as a priest and you're not anointed with that. That's the right way. Now I'm going to give you the wrong way. We won't dwell on this. Proverbs 17:4 in the Amplified says, an evil doer gives heed to wicked lips, and a liar listens to a mischievous tongue. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4 says, for the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. What you allow to enter into your heart will come out. What you hear is usually what you say. And I'll say this about a child. A child learns from hearing. Have you ever heard some of the things that come out of these kids lately? Come on now. I'm saying, what are their parents teaching these kids? Some of the words, some of the vulgar things coming out 2 and 3 year olds. You know they're not picking it up on their own. They're picking it up from others around them, family or other people that they're around. That's exactly, I hate to say it, that's exactly the way a lot of us. We hear, if you're around a crowd of horrible people, you're going to pick up what horrible people say. Okay, you're going to pick up their habits, you're going to pick up their thoughts, you know, you will. So I encourage you not to be around those type of people, because those type of people will drag you down. They're not going to lift you up. Oh, well, I'm a shining light to them. And I walk in there like that candle. I'm saying that's fine. Walk in there like that candle. But be careful. They might blow it out.
At my work, some of the ladies get together and they all be talking how drunk they got and what this and that. And I just have to tune it out. And I'm not mad. I'm not their descendant. They don't know me.
Just got to be careful.
So I'm the oddball.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
let me take you to the next one. I've got you into understanding of what the ear is for, okay? As a holy priesthood, well, your ears are to take in. What they're not to take in, the right and the wrong way to hear, okay? Now let's talk about walking. Walking. Putting the blood upon the thumb, or excuse me, not walking, working. Putting the blood upon the thumb of the right hand signified working. The right hand signifies the power of God. We are commanded to work for the Lord with all our heart. Here's the right way. Exodus 15:6 says, your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. Did you hear that? That's the right hand. When we are working for the Lord, we have his power abiding in us and through the Holy Spirit. All things are
possible.
Thank you. Through the Holy Spirit. When you're working for the Lord and you're abiding in the Lord, all things. All things. Matthew 9, 37 and 38 in the Amplified says, "Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful. But," there's that word "but," "the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out," I like that word, "and thrust laborers into his harvest." That's forceful. I mean, who's a laborer?
We are.
So what he's saying is, the harvest out there, I'm not telling you to go to the Far East. I'm not telling you to be a missionary overseas. Do you know that your harvest field is right outside your door? Your harvest field is outside these doors. And it's plenty. There's a lot out there, okay? You know, you don't have to walk too far. So he says, the laborers are few, and that's why we're talking on I can evangelism. Because I believe we need to be out there doing what God puts us as laborers to do. Okay? So if you don't feel adequate, we're going to teach you how to be adequate. You don't feel appropriate, we're going to teach you how to be appropriate. Because it's in God. It's not you anyway. It's the Lord that lives in you.
That's right.
Amen? I myself am very weak. I myself, ask Sharon, when I first came to know the Lord, I didn't talk hardly at all. You know, she said, I married a Christian that is never going to be a pastor. But then, God started overhauling me. Making me that royal priesthood I need to be. And I'm not going to tell you I haven't had problems. I'm not going to tell you. I am sometimes a very quiet person where I just don't want to say nothing. I just want to get away. Sometimes we do need to do that. But we need to be ready to hit the evangelistic field. We need to get ready to evangelize. We are in the last days. Those wasps are biting you for a reason. Okay? Because they're giving you warning. I'm just a little guy. There's a big one coming.
Oh, man.
Okay? You read Revelation, you'll find out. That's nothing compared to the wasp, but Jesus talks about in the book of Revelation, the locust. So just think about it. That's a little bite. Woo! So we need to be at God's work now. You need to be out there now. You need to be, what is it? Forced? Is it? Is that the word I said there? You need to be forced out. You need to be thrust out as laborers into the harvest. I like that. John 14, 12 through 14 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Underline that. Underscore that. When you get tired or weak or down and out, read it. Read it. Because it is not your power. It is not what you do. Who lives inside you? Is Jesus a weakling? Is Jesus a wimp? Well, if he lives inside you, you could be the weakling, you could be the wimp, but you have a royal priesthood living inside you that has put his blood all over you, and he can give you the power. He can give you the strength. He can give you the encouragement. He can do all things. All things are possible in him. We need to understand that. My goodness. This is telling me that if we believe in Jesus, the works that he did, we will do also. and greater works, because Jesus is with God now. See, I understand that Jesus was one person, one area, doing the work. All the miracles had to be done through him where he was. When he went to be with the Lord, on the power side of God, okay, now all of a sudden, you as a believer become a mighty force for him. So you have, according to Scripture, you have that power. You have that authority. You can tell Satan to go take a hike. Guess what? He has to. Because through the blood of Jesus, he has to. You have that authority. You have that power. Satan can do nothing to you. Nothing. Remember that. Get that in your heart and believe it. Because he can do nothing in you. Because you have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the blood of Jesus that covered your body. Remember that. You have the power. You need to initiate that sometimes. Woo! And I put a little word here. Wow! Let God wow you. Is that okay? Let him wow you. Ask for something that seems impossible. Ask God for something that is impossible. Ask him, then believe it. There's one thing to ask and another thing to believe. But if you ask him, because he just said it in his name, ask him something that's impossible in your own part to do. Something that you want for him to do more than anything, more than life itself. Ask him, believe it, pray for it, and it will happen. Woo! So I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Because God's going to do something. Well, with the right way, there's always a wrong way. Psalms 26:10 says, in those hands is wickedness. And in the right hands are full of bribes. Woo! And the latter part of Jeremiah 1:16 says that they worshipped the works of their own hands. They were kingdom builders. Anybody know a few kingdom builders out there? Okay, I can give you some examples of some older ones. Jim Jones, Assembly of God minister, that fell short and became his own kingdom builders. And we all know what happened. The Columbine experience. Kingdom builders. He built it. He didn't want anybody to read the Word of God because he was the Word of God. And there's others. I'm just giving you two major ones. But you can just go down the line. And I'm talking about even churches today. Don't get me wrong. But there are churches today that are lifting up their kingdom and not God's kingdom. Be careful. Okay, we have hearing. We have working. And last but not least, we have walking. Putting the blood on the big toe of the right foot signifies walking. We are commanded to walk in all the ways of God, walking in the Spirit. The right way, Psalms 40, verse 2. And he drew me up out of a horrible pit, a pit of tumult and of destruction, out of the miry clay, froth and slime, and set my feet upon the rock, steadying my steps and establishing my goings. That's a good one to underline. Woo! There is stability in the rock. And who's the rock? It's not the guy on TV. It's Jesus. I don't even know his name. They call him the Rock. Okay, Dwayne. And I like him. He's a really cool guy. But he's not the Rock. The Rock is Jesus. Our life should be on Jesus, the Rock. Psalms 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In Romans 8, verses 1 through 5, Paul is telling us not to walk after the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. Do you understand that? Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is going wrong with so many Christians today? They're not walking in the Spirit. When they walk out of church, the flesh comes on board. And they start figuring out, what can I do today in the flesh? Oh, well, I got to please this old flesh. I got to do the things that's going to be pleasing to this old flesh. And the Spirit kind of takes back seat. Spirit will not take back seat too long. Okay? Sooner or later, the Spirit's going to leave. Woo! Do you understand that? Hallelujah! If we learn to walk in the Spirit, then we will not fulfill. Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I have to give you the wrong way. Ephesians 4, and this is all scripture, by the way. This is not Jerry, okay? I took time to look through scriptures to find the rights and the wrongs to give you the understanding. Even God gives you the rights, and why does he do that? Why does he give you the rights and the wrongs? So that you can choose. God does not make you a puppet. He does not make you a robot. God wants you to be the sum total of the choices you make, and they will be good, not evil. That's what he wants. So that's why in the Word of God, he gives you both to tell you this is the way you should go, but I will tell you this is the wrong way to go, to encourage you not to go that direction. The wrong way, Ephesians 4:17-19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Oh my goodness, that sounds horrible. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Oh, my goodness. Don't underline that. Don't even. But I'm just giving you the woes. The woes. And I want to leave you with a good conclusion verse. Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as the wise, sensible, intelligent people. That's what I want to leave you. That's what I want to leave you. We need to always listen to what the Lord has to say to us. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Be continually at work for your Heavenly Father wherever you are. The power of God follows you as you work for Him. We are commanded to walk in the ways of the Lord, so walk in the Spirit. That's what the blood. I hope you got this, because we have a lot of scripture today. But in the midst of that, I want you to understand right from wrong, so that we will do right and not wrong. Okay? I did that to prepare you for communion, because today you get to take of his blood. You get to take of his body. And I hope as you do that, it will encourage you. Oh my goodness, say, what a message. And to